Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the second agenda item will be a report, it's our normal quarterly report that the committee receives by Merrill Lynch on the investment performance of the quarter. And to be here to present that will be Jeff Hewlett and Paul Harvey. Mr. Chair, many members of the reporting out of this pamphlet on your notebook. And I'll just be doing a brief overview, and then Paul Harvey will be giving an in-depth. If you turn to page 15, what I'd like to also report is that the Brazos River Authority Employment Retirement Trust, as far as asset allocation, performance, and holdings are all in compliance, which is one thing that I report on. If you would look at page 15 in the blue-gray box at the bottom center, you'll see the current value of the plan itself. To give you a little perspective, from the last report that covered the end of the quarter of February, the value is down for this reporting period about $35,000. If you look at the pie charts at the bottom of the page, the one on the left is from the previous report, the one on the right is for this report. And if you'll see that the asset allocation, the equity portion, has been decreased by about 4%. Cash and fixed income has increased about 2%. What's significant as far as equity, the 60% percentage for equities is the long-term policy plan objective, so we're back to that. As far as the forecast, like I say, Paul will get into that in more detail. We've gone through significant volatility over the past quarter for this reporting period. We still expect some continued volatility through the third and fourth quarter of this year, hopefully with a better outlook for 2007. Are there any questions for me? I'll have for Harvey.
Okay, well, turn back towards the front of the same book you're looking at, to page one, addresses Bob Dahl's outlook. What we're going to do is go through. These were the top 10 predictions that he made. You can make sure everybody's on the right page. First year, Bob always comes out with 10 top 10 predictions he's got. What I'm going to do is kind of revisit those halfway through the year now and tell you where we think we are and how we're doing as far as the scorecard goes. First prediction was he expected the U.S. economy to slow to 3% growth rate. We do feel like we're now starting to see a slowdown in growth. The economy is unusually strong the first half of the year. We've been seeing signs of it for some time now. But we do think it's finally starting to slow. I think that's part of the reason you started to see the market react really in a positive way, because in this mid-cycle slowdown, we've got Fed raising rates until they see visible signs of the economy slowing. Let's say come to the end of that cycle, we expect the stock market to react positively to that. Some of the factors that are involved in the slowdown, certainly higher oil prices, the high interest rates that the Fed has brought on with their tightening, is starting to slow things down, and the slowdown in real estate appreciation is a concern there. So we do think that this will continue to happen the second half of the year. However, we don't see things slipping into a recession, so we should make it through this mid-cycle slowdown in good shape to come out of that and help both the equity and fixed income markets. The second prediction that we had was that earnings would fail to meet consensus expectations. We've had several years of double-digit earnings growth. We started out this year with expectations of, again, double-digit earnings growth. We expect that to come in more like the high single digits, 7 to 8%. We may be off on this a little bit, and that's not a bad thing. Earnings have stayed very strong, even with the economy slowing. So the jury's out as to whether we'll have a significant underperformance in terms of actual earnings of companies with high profit margins. We've continued to see good earnings growth. We are starting to see, though, in the market, and you've probably experienced this watching individual stocks, that there's not money in earnings growth. You're seeing in the technology sector, for instance, some companies are underreporting, some are exceeding expectations. and the market is really distinguishing between those two. So it's very important to be in the right stocks. Third prediction we had was that the U.S. yield curve would invert. Short-term rates would actually go above longer-term rates, which is not a long-term normal situation. And that we expect the 10-year Treasury to stay in the 4% to 5% range, not exceed 5%. We've already had that inversion. We currently have it right now with higher short-term rates than longer-term rates. However, long-term rates did get higher than we expected. They got up in the 5-20 area. Recently, you've seen, however, the longer-term 10-year Treasury bond has traded down, and as a close Friday, I've seen this morning, but it actually got back down in the four, so a little bit under 5%. We feel like long-term rates have probably peaked. We may see some more volatility there. But again, the gist of our expectation first of the year was while short-term rates would go significantly higher, we didn't think it'd drive long-term rates to extremes that would cause long-term damage. Fourth, we expected the U.S. equity market to have its first 10% correction since 2002. We've come close to that already in terms of the peak to its low. The S&P 500 and the Dow Jones Industrials both were down about 8%. And the NASDAQ got down 13%. And we rallied off of those lows. And I guess if you're looking in terms of the correction that we expected, where are we? Are we there yet? We feel like that as far as the extent of the decline, we've probably come pretty close to that. We could see the market trade back to those lows, maybe go a little bit lower. We don't expect significant declines below that, however. In terms of the duration of the correction, we think we may be about halfway there. We could take another couple months or at least several weeks before the market stabilizes and ready to start. We feel like there's going to be another increase. This has been a correction in an ongoing bull market, we felt like. So if we do have further volatility or further declines, we think it's going to be a buying opportunity. The conditions are just not there to start a new bear market. So we feel like this is a correction in a bull market. Fifth, we expect growth to outperform value and large stocks to outperform, or larger companies to outperform smaller companies. The first half of the year, actually the opposite happened. We had value continue to outperform, small cap continue to outperform. However, since the correction has started, we have started to see large cap growth stocks outperform their counterparts. We feel like that trend will continue as the market stabilizes and we start up for our next move up in a bull market. So we do feel like the valuations justify that, and we feel like that's what you'll see as larger cap growth stocks will outperform, and certainly larger cap stocks, which is where your portfolio is positioned and always has been, we feel like will be in a better place to be over the next 12 to 18 months. U.S. dollar resumes its downtrend. This has had fits and starts. We've been back and forth as the Fed has continued to increase interest rates. That tends to strengthen the dollar. We think as the Fed comes to the end of that tightening phase, that you will start to see more of a sustained decline in the dollar. We don't feel like it's going to be damaging, but we just feel like the dollar will be weaker as the Fed comes to the end of its tightening phase and it starts down. This tends to help multinational companies, again, many of which are in your portfolio. As the dollar starts coming back down, then our goods are more affordable overseas, so it helps those large companies that have exposure to foreign sales. Seven, led by Asia, non-U.S. equity markets outperformed the U.S. for the fifth year in a row. You've had your own portfolios, and you've seen the news. International markets have gotten hit pretty hard. However, they still outperform the U.S. markets. And we do feel like, as we come out of this correction, that we'll see a pretty strong rebound in international markets. So, again, we feel like that while we're still being positive in the U.S. markets, we feel like international markets may actually have a little bit better performance than our markets. We expect strong cash flows to lead to another year of high activity, increasing share buybacks, M&A activity. We had a significant amount of M&A activity. In fact, we were maintained this pace then in mergers and acquisitions. 2006 would have a record year in that area. So companies continue to use cash to increase their dividends. They continue to buy back stock, and it has helped the M&A activity. Commodity prices higher in 2006 and 2005. They had a pretty good correction in terms of gold prices and some of the other commodities. However, we are still higher pretty much across the board with most commodities, including oil prices. One of the most exceptions is natural gas, which is down for the first of the year. But outside of that, most commodity prices have been higher. And then finally, Republicans are paying control of Congress, but relinquish some of their advantage in the 2006 election. This, I always feel like when Bob goes out and makes some kind of a forecast, it's not a political statement, it's just his, one of his forecasts. I always feel like it's not probably his strongest suit, but he still feels like that's going to be the case, that the GOP will lose seats in both houses but maintain a majority. We feel like that really the focus is going to shift more towards the 2008 elections. The administration right now is already not with the war in Iraq being a big news item, and then recent turmoil increased in the Middle East. Then the focus is away from some of the domestic agenda, so we have not felt like there was going to be a lot of progress made there. This would be consistent going into the second half of the year, so people start looking towards 2008 and then possible presidential election there. Any effect that might have on the economic outlook. So that's an update on where we stand for our forecast. Anybody have any questions on that before we get into the actual portfolio review? Okay, if you will turn to page 14, that will start the. So again, reiterate what the investment objective of the portfolio is. It is a balanced objective with. S&P 500 being the benchmark for the stocks in the portfolio. We show the Merrill Lynch U.S. Corporate Government Index as the benchmark for the bond portion of the portfolio. This is based on our lean aggregate, which is another benchmark that we've utilized in the past. And then what we will show in the performance is a blended benchmark with about a 60-40 mix or 60-35 mix of stocks and bonds. So these are the benchmarks that are outlined in your investment policy. Next page, Jeff had alluded to earlier, shows the value as of the end of May. And the pie charts at the bottom do show that we reduced our equity exposure back in March from close to 65% down to around 60%. And so it shows that May the 31st, date of this report, 60% equities, 34% fixed, and 6% cash. We've since, in the last couple of weeks, increased our fixed income exposure. So we put some of that cash back to work as we felt like longer-term rates were starting to come to a peak. We've actually increased toward 38%. I know Jeff made mention that the policy of your the plan is to have a long-term target of about 60% stocks, 38% fixed income. That's right about where we are right now. We don't try to go right toward that. We try to add value where we can. If we take stocks with the opportunity, we'll overweight stocks. We're concerned about bonds. We'll underweight that, which we have in the past. Right now, we are right in line with that policy, as we feel like both offer pretty good opportunities. The next page shows the top 10 holdings of the portfolio, as well as a pie chart showing the sector allocation. The top 10 holdings would just show, give an idea of the type of stocks in the portfolio. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. We'll go to the next page on the sector allocation. Because I think the bar chart better outlines what our strategy is. This is the bar chart showing the blue bar being the percent of your portfolio in a particular sector, the gray bar being the percent of the overall market in that sector. So it shows we're overweighted. We continue to overweight energy stocks, continue to overweight material stocks and industrials, and as well as technology. All of these have a cyclical bent. They tend to do better when the economy is doing well. As we know, the economy has been doing pretty good. Everybody's been waiting for the economy to slow so the Fed will stop increasing rates. But we do feel like once they stop there, then the better performance is going to be coming in those companies that benefit from a strong economy. We think this is a slowdown, a normal slowdown in a good growing economy. The fundamentals are there to have good results with some of those companies that specifically benefit from corporate spending. We think the shift has started to take place from the consumer driving the economy to corporations driving the economy. That will benefit technology spending with companies. It'll benefit industrials as companies to upgrade their equipment. The next page outlines the position of your bond portfolio. Your portfolio has the box on the left versus the box on the right on the benchmark. If you look at the average maturity of the portfolio, that's been about 5.25 years. versus 7.2 years. So we've been shorter than the benchmark. And as you'll see when I turn to the next page to get into performance, it has actually helped us. It hurt us some the first part of the year as rates continued to stay pretty low, but then rates started edging up as the Fed continued to increase their rates. So we had been positioned short of the benchmark, and we added positions this past few weeks to increase our bond exposure. We have also lengthened the maturity, so we're more in line with the benchmark with the expectation that we're now willing to reach out and get some of the longer-term rates and lock those in. The next page, we're now on page 19 following, is a performance of the portfolio. The bottom box, the long box, if you look at the far left-hand column, shows the last 3 months. We've not had a whole lot of progress on market anywhere. Your portfolio is up 0.65%. The blended benchmark I referred to earlier, down at the very bottom, is down 0.57%. We've slightly outperformed both in the bond portion of the portfolio as well as the equity portion of the portfolio. If you'll move over two columns, you'll see for the last 12 months how that has fit in with the previous performance. In the trading 12 months, the portfolio is up 11.34%. The blended benchmark is up 4.7%. So we've had significant outperformance of the total portfolio. Largely due to the equity performance. And again, the last 12 months, the equities are up 17.95%. The S&P 500 has been up 8.64%. And then if you look at fixed income, again, we've slightly outperformed. That has been due to our shorter maturities in the portfolio. So take that out a little bit longer. 2 year annualized is 10.2% of the portfolio. 3 years is 9.38%. Each of those outperformed the benchmark. I will stop there and entertain any questions.
Done well.
You have done well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mr. Chair, the only thing I left out in my part was that the value as of Friday is $24,341,000, so slightly up from what I reported.
Any questions?
John, I was wondering. Okay. This is not of them. What's the contribution plan? Our contribution for the plan ending 2/28/07 in the budget. Is it a million something?
The contribution to submit the budget year is going to be, I believe, $781,000.
Okay.
That's actually going to be part of the report that's coming up in just 1 second, our actual report.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's fine. That was last year's. This year's
this year's
is $871,000. It's about $100,000 more. Okay. Is the contribution requirement on the defined benefit portion of the plan.
Okay.
And we'll a little more explanation of that's coming up with the actual report.
Okay. Thank you.